Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. Two for one, no concern for the future. Living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow, mad cow, mad cow, line dance song.
Okay. Hey, Sun Guy Nation, welcome to the show here on another Friday. QT and Sun Guy with you like normal. Real fast before we jump into it, if you're looking for some wrestling, there are shows happening tonight. WCWO in Indianapolis, Indiana at the Outlaw Arena. PWAS in Melvindale, Michigan, PPW in Sellersburg, Indiana, BPW in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and Midwest All-Pro Wrestling in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Tomorrow night, Northwest Pro in Post Falls, Idaho, KLT in Rome, Georgia, DCW in Pascagoula, Mississippi, PW Havoc in Michigan Center, Michigan, TAPW in Morrison, Tennessee, GLCW in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, MAPW in Humboldt, Minnesota, and CCW happening in Nashville, Tennessee. Make sure everyone goes out and supports safely. Remember to take your face mask with you. Most shows are requiring those if you're going to watch the show. But speaking of Northwest Pro, I want to bring one of the participants of that particular event on right away. Welcome back to the show, Chris Mark.
Hey, thanks for having me today. Appreciate it.
Always glad to have you on here. Now, like I said, tomorrow is Northwest Pro's return. They'll be in Post Falls, Idaho. It'll be your first match in several months officially. Can you tell us a little bit about what we're going to be seeing tomorrow out of you?
I'm a couple hours away from getting on the road for the show, actually, right now. We're gearing up to take Idaho by storm. I think everybody's been biting at the bit for much too long, and we're all ready to get back at it. As far as what you should expect to see out of me, the usual, dominance and a victory, that's what I'm predicting right now.
Now, to my knowledge, I believe this is one of the first, if not the first, event that Northwest Pro has put on in Post Falls, Idaho. Are you familiar at all with the area and maybe the fan base that you're going to be seeing tomorrow night?
It is the first show we've put on in that area, that's for sure. It's a great opportunity for the company and the guys that work there to get in front of a new set of fans, bring what we do best to a new marketplace, and let them really enjoy some fantastic wrestling. I'm familiar with the area and the fan base a little bit. I've lived in this area since 2002. I've been over that way for wrestling a time or two. So I know Idaho is a great wrestling state. And Post Falls, I'm sure, will be as eager to have us as they are lucky to have us in the first place.
For sure. Now, tomorrow, my understanding is you will be in the ring with Manny Rios. I believe it's going to be one of his first Northwest Pro shows, if not his debut. I know you have been on shows before with Manny Rios. Have you ever wrestled him before?
I have not. He and I have performed together, not in the same match, but on the same show over in the Tri-Cities area, Reactivate Pro Wrestling, another great organization out here in Washington. But I've this will be his first taste of Northwest Pro, first taste of Chris Marks in the ring. Unfortunately, it's going to leave a bitter taste in his mouth, but hopefully he comes back for seconds.
Absolutely. Manny Rios, a fantastic competitor for sure. Now, you also, in addition to Northwest Pro, have become a featured staple of combat pro wrestling, and it was at CPW where you have captured a championship. I know CPW is not back to live shows just yet, but do you have sort of an idea of what you might want to do once the live shows resume for CPW being a champion there?
You're right. The last appearance for CPW in the Washington marketplace before COVID shut everything down was highlighted with me winning the international championship from Sideshow. Right now, I'm happy sitting on top of that division as the longest reigning international champion the company's ever seen. I'm just going to keep that streak going once we start live shows back, because I don't know anybody in the division that can touch me. They're welcome to come and try. But I have a feeling that belt is going to get nice and comfortable around my shoulder, because it's not going anywhere for a long, long time.
Now, looking at the landscape of CPW, there's a lot of great competitors there. Sideshow, I'm sure, would love to get that championship back, as would any number of guys. Who do you see on the roster that you think might be giving you the biggest run for your money when it comes to defenses?
You know, I'd love to give you some individual names. The problem with that is that several months before the COVID shut everything down, I aligned myself with Team Jeff. And Team Jeff doesn't look for individual targets, because as a group, as a whole, we're better than everybody else on the roster. So I don't have any individual targets in mind. I don't have anybody that I'm afraid of individually. I don't have anybody that I'm even putting on a radar right now, because anybody that comes at me is going to get the same exact treatment Sideshow did. They're going to get their shoulder spin to the mat to the 1-2-3. I'm going to leave the ring with the international championship, and Team Jeff's just going to be stronger because of it. So that's just the outlook. It's just how it is and how it has been.
Now, there is a division in combat pro wrestling that's different than most of your traditional independent companies. That is the grappling division. It is ran under a different set of rules than the other matches held on the card at CPW. Is the grappling championship something that you could see yourself potentially trying to win as well, or is that a part of the sport that doesn't really interest you?
I mean, if the opportunity arose, I wouldn't pass up the chance to have a little more gold around my waist. But you've been to a CPW show, you've seen the grappling matches. You know, the namesake of Team Jeff. Jeff himself has got that division on lock. Just because he doesn't have the belt right now doesn't mean he's not going to the minute we get back to live action. So I wouldn't want to step on any toes, but if he asked me to go in there and run roughshod, I would.
And it is easy to step on toes in that division, because a lot of the guys don't wear boots.
True statement.
Now, when you look at the diversity of the CPW roster, you see a wide range of different styles. You have the guys that are in the grappling division that are amateur-based and MMA-based. You have the big power guys like Sideshow. You have the brawlers like Diafula Debashi. You have the young, high-flying guys like a Tomcat Jones or a Cody. There's a lot of great talent that has a lot of various styles. Do you personally have a style of wrestling that you like to wrestle against?
Well, I mean, you named Sideshow under the powerhouse there, and I think you could ask him how his power worked out the last time he and I got in the ring together. I think I was able to counter everything that he threw at me with something equally as impressive. You go back and look at the couple of matches that we've had together, and you'll see the clear appreciation and sometimes shock on his face at the things that I'm able to do with him. And let's not forget that 2 months before things got shut down, I picked Jack the Snack up on my shoulders, held him there, and then somehow and dropped him in the middle of the ring. And then I got back up like it was a standard bench press. So you could say I'm in the power side of things, but I also like to grapple and brawl. I don't like to shoehorn myself into one category, because then you get predictable, and I like to be unpredictable. I can certainly tell you this. Over the last 7 months since things have been shut down, nobody that I train with has been sitting on the couch getting fat and lazy. We've all been in the gym training, learning new things, perfecting our skills, polishing up what we already know, getting better. And I think Post Falls, Idaho tomorrow is going to get the first taste of that when I put Manny Rios down. But the Pacific Northwest as a whole has got a brand new Chris March to worry about when we get back rolling full time. And they're going to see some things that they're not ready for, and some things that I think the Pacific Northwest wrestling scene is going to be shocked for.
One of the styles I didn't mention, but it is a really popular style over the last couple of years, and that is Lucha Libre. Lucha has become very, very commonplace within the United States over the last few years as we see more and more Lucha-based companies popping up in places you wouldn't normally expect to see a Lucha group. What's your opinions on that particular style?
I have a lot of love for Lucha Libre. I grew up appreciating the style quite significantly. I'm originally from a southern state, and we had a very strong Hispanic presence in that state at the time. So I grew up being able to watch a lot of our traditional Lucha Libre live if I wanted to. I've always really appreciated the style. I've always really appreciated the athletes in that style. Unfortunately, you know, my body type isn't the traditional Lucha Libre style, so it's not something that I've delved myself into quite significantly, but you know as well as anybody that's seen me in the ring knows before, I wear a mask. The mask maker that makes my masks is a traditional mask maker down in Mexico City. He's made me a great brand new design that I'm going to be debuting tomorrow night in Post Falls, Idaho. And it'll be the routine mask I wear from now on. I promised on social media before my appearance today to your audience that I would be posting pictures of that mask on my social media page as a treat. So after we get off the phone here, I'll be posting that all over the social media so people can see the debut of the new mask, see what it looks like. But I've always had a big appreciation for the style and for the culture. And that's kind of why I wear a mask. It's kind of my nod to that part of the business that helped me love the business as a whole now. Even though I can't do some of the things that they do, it doesn't mean I can't show my love.
Absolutely. Now, one of the things that a lot of wrestlers get into when they have several years under their belt like you do is the training aspect of things. A lot of guys either open up schools where they assist in the schools with the other trainers to kind of lead the new generation along. Is training the new crop of wrestlers something that you have considered at any point?
Well, like I was mentioning earlier, we've been in the gym and we've been training this entire time since the COVID locked everything down as much as we can be. You know, as much as the kids in the industry need a good trainer and as much as they need to learn from people that are more experienced than them, I'm still at the point in my career where those kids are trying to compete against me actively. And if I'm going to give them all the knowledge that I've got and all the experience that I've got, then that's just putting more tools in their toolbox to defeat me when they get in the ring with me. I'd rather teach them the hard way in the ring in front of an audience, put them down for a 1-2-3 and let them learn from that, than get in the gym and teach them that way. There's still plenty of people in the Pacific Northwest that have gyms. If people want training, they can get it. There's actively stuff on this side of the mountains as far as Northwest Pro. You know, they've got their own gym, and the training there is top notch. I can't say enough good about that. As far as me getting in there and training new talent, it's probably not something I'm going to be doing anytime in the near future. I'm still polishing my game. I'm still getting better every day. You know, I believe in the theory that you always have to keep improving. You can't ever stop improving. You can't. The minute you think you know everything is the day you should stop, because you have obviously attained a level of knowledge that not even the greats have known. So we'll see about training new talent someday, but not right now.
One of the things I've found is a lot of wrestlers have a favorite physical ring where they wrestle. There's tons of different rings out there. Go company to company, and you might not see the exact same type of ring for several shows in a row. Looking at the rings you've been in, do you have a favorite actual ring where you wrestle?
The Northwest Pro has a handful of rings that they use, and one of them is quite significantly larger than the rest. It's the ring that we took to Cheney Stadium when we did Rock and Rally for the Troops and the Cage Show. It's the ring that we usually use for cage shows. I'd say that's probably my favorite one to perform in right now. As far as preferences go, really the only preference that I've run into so far in the business is that I've found that I enjoy traditional ropes as opposed to metal cables. Not a lot of companies feature that, so it's not something that I indulge in quite often because, frankly, nobody really has it. But when I do appear on a show and their ring happens to have traditional ropes, it's a nice little treat for me.
Now, looking at the landscape, like, how many companies would you say utilize the real ropes these days?
As far as I know, there's only two in the general area. And I think it's the same ring for both companies, but I couldn't be sure.
So very few. Now, looking at another one of the promotions where you wrestle, you mentioned earlier Reactivate Pro. They were picking up quite a bit of steam before they had to shut things down because of the pandemic. They run a very, very good show there in the Tri-Cities area of Washington. What do you think of the job that they're doing there, Reactivate Pro?
They put on a good show. It's always a good time going over to Tri-Cities and getting in the Reactivate ring. I've had some great matches over there. The audience over there is always excited for wrestling to come back anytime we're there. So, nothing but good things to say about Reactivate. Even though there's some people over there that I'm eager to get back in the ring with once things get rolling again. People writing checks their ass can't cash. So.
Gotcha. Well, at this point, my co-host QT is standing by, and I'm sure he has questions as well, so I'm going to pass things to him.
Right.
Well, thank you, Sungai. Hello, Chris.
How you doing, QT?
Not too bad. Not bad. Chris, you talked to Sungai about your new mask debut. We recently had on Russian wrestler Vladimir Kolov, and I made a commitment on the air to buy a mask of his plus a t-shirt. Are you familiar of the history of the men who have donned the wrestling mask in Russia?
Did you say in Russia?
Yes.
That's not something I'm super familiar with, no.
Because surprisingly, Russia throughout the years, especially in the last decade, have had quite a bit of masked wrestlers. I was surprised to find out.
That's interesting. I certainly haven't done a lot of research into Russia as far as wrestling goes, but it's certainly an interesting topic, I guess.
Are you yourself familiar with Vladimir Kolov, who we just interviewed?
Loosely.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Chris, given these three choices,
in West Virginia,
what major city would you most like to wrestle in with your new mask if you had the chance to travel? One, Frankfurt, Germany, two, Petersburg, three, Krakow, Poland.
QT, I'm going to have to ask you to repeat those options for me because you were breaking up there for a minute. I had a hard time hearing you.
Oh, okay. Which of these three cities would you most like to wrestle in with your new mask? Frankfurt, Germany, St. Petersburg, Russia, or Krakow, Poland?
The last time I was on the show, you and I discussed the fact that I was in the military for quite some time, and being in the military allowed me to do quite a bit of traveling when I was still active duty. If you had asked me the top 10 places I wanted to see in my life when I was a kid, I've been to 9 of them because of the military. And the one of them that would have been on that list, and I still haven't been to, is St. Petersburg, Russia. So since that's on your list, I would pick that one. It's a place I've always wanted to go to, and there's a lot of really unique history in that area. It's a beautiful city. If what you're saying about the mask wrestling in Russia is true, then why not go there and dip my foot in that pool, you know what I mean?
Oh, okay. I'm going to mark down St. Petersburg, Russia on this questionnaire. Okay, very good. Now, Chris, we all at Turnbuckle Turmoil appreciate your military service. Are you excited about the new Tom Hanks movie coming out called Greyhound, a man who takes over a destroyer in World War II and has to escort a convoy of merchant ships to Liverpool, England, to deliver supplies, and he deals several attacks to Marines. Are you excited about this movie?
Yeah, that actually, is a movie I've got quite a bit of interest in. I'm looking for an opportunity to download and watch that as soon as it's available. So yeah, I would definitely say that one's one that I'm interested in watching.
Oh, okay, very good.
Kind of a movie hound personally. So.
Okay. To date, Chris, what is your favorite war movie? Would it be Apocalypse Now in 1979, or maybe Platoon?
That's a tough question, actually. Probably like Saving Private Ryan. I think that they tried to get as accurate as possible with that one. I liked the whole story. There's some behind the scenes stories that I like about that movie. They were pretty authentic, and I got to go see that movie in theaters live with my dad on his birthday, and it was a big moment for him. So he's a big World War II buff. So there's a good memory behind it. It was a good movie, and there's a lot of trivia I like about it. So I think as a whole, that one would go on the top of the list.
Oh, all right. Okay. Now, did your dad serve in the service?
He actually didn't. My dad signed up for the draft during Vietnam, and he was actually pre-registered. Like, they had a program where if you got drafted and you had already gone through this pre-registration process, you got to kind of have a say in what branch of service you went to and what job you were maybe going to get and things like that. So he'd already done all that. And he actually still has the newspaper, the local newspaper from our area when they stopped doing the draft, and he still has his draft card. And the number they stopped on was 12 away from his draft card. So he was very close to getting drafted and serving, but he actually became a public servant. He started in the fire department when he was 16 years old and did that for 36 years before he retired. So he went the fire department route instead of the military route.
Okay. All right. Very good. Very good. Well, Chris, how would you describe your first week in boot camp to your wrestling status right now, getting back into wrestling? Or some of your hardest matches? Does your first week in boot camp compare?
I think anybody in the military would tell you that the first week of boot camp is really just all mental. There's a lot that has to get done as far as like processing you into boot camp and the military as a whole, and getting you uniforms and getting you assigned to the right group of people and put in the right building and things like that. And the whole time they're letting you get very little sleep, and they're yelling at you, and you're having to, you know, do and react to things in ways that you never have before. It's really kind of a weeding out process to see if you can mentally take it. So I would say that training to get back to wrestling and training to perfect my game in the wrestling ring is tougher than the first week of boot camp. Now, if you want to go to the fourth week of boot camp or the last week of boot camp and compare that to my wrestling life, I would say that the last week of boot camp, when you go through the final events to graduate and things like that, I'd say that's some of the toughest stuff that I've ever done in my life. Also, I was in a unique program when I was in the military. It required me to go through some different schools, and there's a 3-week school I went to right before I hit the fleet that I still say is the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. But I would say that some of the more grueling matches I've had, some of the training I've done to get back in the ring, it's comparable, and maybe not quite as tough as that, but it's on the same level, I think.
All right, it kind of approached what they may have done in Hell Week and
sure, something similar to that.
Oh, okay. Well, Chris, did you ever undergo refresher training in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba?
No, the entire time I was in the Navy, I was part of the Pacific Fleet. And we were in the middle of Iraqi freedom and the Afghanistan campaign. So I spent the entirety of my Navy campaign over in the Middle East. And then when I switched over to the Army, we both were doing scale down from the Middle East operations, and I was here in Washington State. So the majority of my time in the military was on the West Coast of the United States, the Middle East.
Okay, who had the best cooks, the Navy or the Army?
If you're keeping up with the news, a couple of weeks ago there was a big fire on a Navy ship down in San Diego. Did you see that?
Yes, the Bonham Richard.
I was on that ship.
Ooh.
I was on that ship when I was in the Navy, and they had by far the best food in the military. So watching that ship burn broke my heart.
Now, what if you could travel back in time and participate in a battle royal or a steel cage match on the deck of the Bonham Richard, would that be your number one priority?
Well, as much as I like the Bonham Richard, it was a great vessel to be on and everything. I spent a lot of time on the Abraham Lincoln, and if I was going to have a match on any ship, I'd say it would be the Lincoln.
Wow. Now, the Abraham Lincoln just got back from, a deployment. And it was extended 2 months due to the tensions around the world. What turned into an almost 6-month deployment turned into an 8.5-month deployment. And I think the Theodore Roosevelt just recently set a record of 171 days underway without a port call due to tensions. 171. Yes.
Well, so when I joined the fleet after all my training, I actually flew on board the Abraham Lincoln from Australia, and they were in the middle of the 10-month deployment that they did in support of the beginning of Iraqi freedom. And that's the deployment that at the end of it, the president, George Bush, landed on the ship and did the mission accomplished speech that turned into a big disaster. I was actually there when he made that speech and everything. So I was on that deployment. So I feel wholeheartedly for them getting extended. Anybody that's in the military that gets deployed and even serve 6 months or 12 is on the ground if you're not the Navy. You know, I feel for anybody that does that. Having done, a total of 7 different deployment orders when I was in the military, I've been on every kind of deployment there is. They're miserable. You're happy to be there because you're doing your duty and you're doing what you were trained to do and everything like that. But it's so hard being away from your family. It's so hard being away from normal life. And then when you come back, it's so hard to reacclimate. So I reach out to those guys, nothing but respect for them getting extended like that. It's always tough. So I'm glad to hear that they're home though.
Yes. And I bet when you sailed on the Bonham Richard, you didn't have cell phones at that time, did you?
No, that was still, we were still doing, there was like a payphone in the galley. And the payphone was linked to a satellite, so it was like a satellite calling, and you had to use a phone card, which is an antiquated piece of technology now, but yeah, no cell phones, and we had very little internet access at the time as well. So,
have you yourself ever hidden a payphone card in your trunks and used it as a foreign object?
No, but I got a match tomorrow night, and you're starting to give me ideas. So,
oh, okay, great. Hey, we're all about ideas on this show. Very good. Okay. Well, Chris, you talked to Sign Guy about producing your own masks, and we may see a debut of the of your new mask tomorrow in Idaho. Did you ever see the Seinfeld episode where Kramer and Jerry's dad went into the trench coat business?
Sure. Yeah, I've seen that.
Where they get the trench coats out of the boxes and Moz fly on the trench coats. Okay. All right. Well, Chris, can you tell us how long it will take you to travel to Idaho tomorrow?
About 4 hours. We're gonna make that trip tonight, though. We've got a local seminar this evening that we're going to be attending, and then be getting on the road this evening, and we'll be there early tomorrow. I like to get there early so I have time to get nice and limber, nice and stretched, and get a feel for the area before a show, you know.
Okay, who's giving the seminar? Is there a couple of people or just one main guy or girl?
So it's been on Northwest Pro's website for quite a while now. The seminar that is happening this evening is being hosted by Larry D.
Oh, okay, Larry D. We just had him on the show a couple weeks ago, and boy, did he answer the tough questions. Yes, he did very well.
Hey, guys, we have another caller, and this one is someone that I believe Chris March knows fairly well. Managing Freak, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
What have you got to say, Managing?
What did he say?
You got something to say, Managing Freak?
Yes. Last week, I put out a challenge on behalf of my client, Chris March, to when the pandemic is over with, and we are back open, I said that I wanted that no good. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you. You're saying you're throwing out the challenge with Stevie Moonshine.
Yeah, I want CBW championship match for Chris March. But I came up with a different challenge. Yeah, because I want everybody to know that Chris March is the best the CBW has to offer. So I suggest we have a champion versus champion match for the CPW Heavyweight Championship. Chris March versus Chris Brady versus J.B. Moonshine.
Wow. March, what about that?
I get him a five figures. Well, I mean, I'm always down for a challenge. If the other two champions want to step up and the administration as it is and CPW wants to make that match happen, I'm just as willing to put my name on the line as I'm sure they are.
I don't think there has been a match where those three champions all converged at one time. I mean, obviously the CPW Championship Committee would have to approve it. But Chris, what about it? Do you think you're up to going in there with the other two champions coming out heavyweight champion of CPW?
Well, I'll go out on a limb and say that the international championship is the championship, the premier championship in CPW. So the other two can step in the ring with me if they decide they want to. It's just going to hurt the credibility when both of them lose, though. So if they want to step in the ring, I'll put my name on the dotted line. The championship committee wants to make it happen. I'll put my name on the dotted line. I have no fear of that match.
Managing Freak, have you been in talks with the championship committee? Have they given their blessing to proceed with this?
No, not yet. I have, but I will be. And here in the very near future, I'm going to be putting it out on Facebook. I will be the live promo to make a formal challenge on behalf of Chris Marks, because I believe Chris Marks is the best the CPW has to offer.
I'm sure you're not biased in the least, being his personal manager.
Just because he's biased doesn't mean he's wrong.
Well, there's that truth as well, yeah. Now, we haven't touched on this really, but Chris Marks, you brought Managing Freak out with you shortly before the shutdown, had him manage you, and right away won the championship. Where did you find the Managing Freak, and what led you to sign a contract with him?
He's a yet another asset and tool in the Team Jeff toolbox. We've been able to bring in a lot of talent onto Team Jeff, and he's just another piece of that puzzle. I think the timing of him standing at ringside with me and me joining Team Jeff and me winning the championship all have something to do with each other. You could say that.
Managing Freak, I'm not sure, but I think he might have called you a tool.
Well, you know, I have been known as being a jackhammer or sledgehammer or whatever. So, you know, it is what it is.
Totally cool. All right. QT, do you have some questions for Chris Marks and or Managing Freak?
Yes, Managing Freak, your voice is very mysterious and fills me with dread, kind of like a tropical storm that is approaching the Texas coast, southern coast. Yes, before you step into the ring with Chris Marks, Managing Freak, I propose an arm wrestling contest between you, a wrestler that I know in the Northwest that is also masked, budget deficit, we accept it. Budget deficit.
Let's make it with Dark Carter.
Well, Darth Carter might be even in terms of physical ability and mental ability with budget deficit, but you got to go through budget deficit first before Chris Marks. That's the closing.
I just can't get too close to Darth Carter because his breath, it's lucky
out. Well, okay. Well, Chris, can you tell us, before the COVID epidemic hit, did you participate in the Red Curtain Foundation for the Arts in Marysville, Washington, in January?
That's where CPW has their shows, and I've participated in their shows all throughout their tenure there, yes.
Okay. Well, Chris, you mentioned that you got smacked to death up on your shoulder for an eventual slam. Have you ever caught one of Snack the Jack's Hostess chocolate cakes while sitting in the crowd?
I have not. The match that I picked him up on my shoulders and dropped him, though, he was trying to cut jokes beforehand and not taking things seriously and tossed me one, and I gave him, I let him know what I thought about his cupcakes when I smashed it with my shoe.
Wow. Well, Paw Freakshine has received several Hostess fruit pies throughout the years. What if a similar situation happened with Paw Freakshine? Would you get him up on your shoulder?
If I had to.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Chris, we recently had on Tomcat Jones for an interview, and he was in a very famous Sign of the Times, What's New, Pussycat, or I think it was What's Up, Pussycat, Sign of the Times. Have you yourself, Chris Marks, been in a Sign of the Times?
I have not.
Oh, okay. What would it mean to you, Chris, if you got ranked number one in the Turnbuckle Turmoil Northwest Weekly Rankings, plus you were interviewed in the Sign of the Times in the same week? Would that be a double entendre for you, double entendre?
You know, I'd appreciate the exposure being on a Sign of the Times. You know, I appreciate the exposure being on your show today and everything like that. Being ranked number one on the rankings list would be a foregone conclusion, though. The only reason I'm not on there now is because I haven't been on the Sign of the Times.
Oh, okay. All right. Have you yourself seen the Tomcat Jones interview on Sign of the Times?
I don't know if I caught his interview on Sign of the Times. I'm familiar with Tomcat. He and I have crossed paths a few times. I try to keep up with his stuff if I know he and I are meeting up in the ring anytime soon. I don't think I've seen a Sign of the Times, though.
In your opinion, who could win a Hell in a Cell match? Tomcat Jones against Paw Freaks? Who would be the winner?
That's a tough one. I'd hate to naysay anybody in that situation. But the Tomcat does like to land on his feet. He is quite mobile and in the air. I've had to pluck him out of the air and plant him back on the ground a couple of times in our time together. But he's a pretty tough opponent. I'll admit.
That's true, Chris. When Tomcat Jones was a kid, he fell out of a tree and landed on his feet, but he still hurt his leg. Yes.
The last time he and I were in the ring together, he jumped off a turnbuckle. I caught him, and I planted him in the middle of the ring, and he hurt his back. So that seems to be a running theme for him. But
oh, okay. Well, Chris, I am going to assign you the homework assignment of looking up the Tomcat Jones on the Sign of the Times video. Will you do this?
Mm-hmm. All right.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Back to you, Sun Guy.
Thank you, QT. Well, Managing Freak, we know that Chris Marks will be in action tomorrow in Idaho. You manage him there at Combat Pro Wrestling. Are there any plans in place for you to sort of expand and visit new areas with Chris Marks?
If I ever asked you, I would go other places. Right now, I'm just mainly concentrating on Combat Pro. But you just never know when or where I may show up.
That's right. He's a great ace in the hole to have to keep reserved until I need him. So people can expect him to show up anywhere at any time, or maybe not.
Very mysterious, much like the Managing Freak. Chris, obviously the big attraction besides yourself tomorrow is legendary Larry D. out of Impact Wrestling. coming into the area for the first time. I'm familiar with him, having worked with him in the past. I believe it'll be your first time on a show with him. What do you know about legendary Larry D, and do you plan to scout his match out as a potential opponent for yourself?
Of course. You know, why do you think I am going to the seminar in the first place this evening? I mean, it's the only reason to go to something like that is to polish myself a little bit more and do research for anything that I might need to have ready to go in the future. So same goes for tomorrow night during his match with the Lumberjack. Damn sure I'll be watching, that's for sure.
Now, on the flip side of that, would you consider a tag team with Larry D? I know he teams with AC Romero over at Impact, but he's in this area after tomorrow. Would you like to do some tagging with him?
We'd have to see what the situation called for. I wouldn't put that in the definite no column, but we'd have to see what the situation called for.
Managing Freak, are you going to be kind of keeping a close tab on what legendary Larry D does here in the Northwest and maybe either sign a match for your guy or talk to Larry D about perhaps getting you as his management?
Always watching and paying attention. I pay attention to everybody, and right now I'm concentrating on Chris Marks because I believe in Chris Marks. I believe that Chris can do just about anything he sets his mind to, if he has his mind to CPW championship, he's going to get it. And that's all there is to it.
Well, Chris, we know that you have the show in Idaho and you wrestle all over Washington. And we know that you kind of keep a close eye on what's going on in the independents. Is there one area of the country that you've not been to yet that would most interest you as far as an area to go wrestle?
I do have some things on my bucket list for sure. I want to wrestle in the state of Florida. I have a lot of family down there, some of which are new family to me, and none of them have been able to see me perform live before. So that's definitely on the bucket list is performing in the state of Florida so the family can come out and check it out. During all of this layover because of the lockdown and everything, I've actually had a handful of people reach out. So in the coming 12 months or, you know, whenever things get rolling again, it looks like I'll be maybe performing up in Alaska, and there'll be a couple of shows that it looks like I'm getting booked on over in Texas. And I'm in talks with some people over in New Jersey right now as well. So it looks like I'll be doing some traveling once everything gets rolling again, and I'm excited for that. So
that's fantastic. Absolutely. Now, when I performed in Alaska, they had one of the greatest payoff systems in the history of the pro wrestling business. Do you have a fee set up with the people up there in Alaska?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Managing Freak, I know you handle like contracts and things like that, and that's all like you're in as far as being a manager. If Chris Marks is going to be doing some traveling, are you going to put a clause in these contracts that says they have to bring you out as well?
Well, of course, that's up to Chris, whether he wants to be there or not. But, you know, if he wants to be there, then there will be a clause saying that he has to bring me. Otherwise, they'll just have to deal with other ways of doing things.
minutes left in the show, and I want to make sure you guys have time to plug and promote everything. Managing Freaks, is there anything you want to say to plug or promote?
Well, first of all, I want to wish Griff luck on his tomorrow's trip and stay safe and, or however he's getting there. And in the near future, I will be doing a live promo on my challenges on behalf of Chris Marks. And I will be sending that promo to the CPW committee to view and listen to. And I will also be sending a copy to Chris. And in the near future, I will be doing that. And be sure that everybody come and see Chris Marks at CPW. When the show gets opened back up, and don't forget to buy some merchandise from Chris Marks also.
All right, Chris Marks, anything you want to plug and promote? Social medias, appearances, merchandise, your favorite car shop, anything at all, go for it.
Certainly. First and foremost, we've mentioned it a couple of times now. Tomorrow night, we're going to be having our first show back since the lockdown over in Post Falls, Idaho. As far as I know, there's still tickets available for that. So if you can make the drive over, check that out. You should definitely do so. It's going to be a great show. You can find details on the show and find details on what happened at the show if you're not able to perform on Northwest Pro's Facebook page or my Facebook page. You can always go to my Facebook page. It's KRISMARX. I'm the only one. Recently, I was given an opportunity to launch a new web store with a brand new company that is local here in the Pacific Northwest. Everybody that's on it is local here to the Pacific Northwest. It's Brainbuster Tees. You can Google that, and it comes right up, brainbustertees.com. I have a great web store on there. I just got my box of merchandise from them like 2 days ago. It's all fantastic merchandise. It all ran through the washer and dryer already, and it all came out more comfortable than it went in. Nothing shrank. Nothing faded. All the logos are great. All the merchandise is great. There's flex fit hats, snapback hats. There's beanies. There's like six different kinds of T-shirt. There's even a Letterman jacket on there that is just on point. I bought one of those. It looks amazing. It's a great website. Great local thing that is happening. You guys definitely support that. Again, it's brainbustertees.com. And you can find my store on there under Superstars or Stars Wrestlers. Again, like last time I was on the show, I had just launched my Pro Wrestling Tees website. That's still up. They're great. Everybody knows ProWrestlingTees.com. All their merchandise is fantastic. And then keep an eye out for CPW to be coming live to Marysville here as soon as they're able to. Northwest Pro, we're looking at doing shows in the post-falls area probably more than once before the end of the lockdown. So keep an eye on our Facebook page to see where we're going to be performing as well. And then Reactivate, I'm sure they're going to be coming back stronger than ever as soon as they get an opportunity, as soon as things clear up over there. I just wanted to say, everybody, be safe during this whole quarantine and lockdown. It's a terrible thing that's going on. So just comply with all the local procedures and everything, and we'll get through this together. And make sure to check out Northwest Pro's Facebook page for the results of the show tomorrow night if you can't come out live, okay?
Absolutely. Chris Marks and your manager managing, thank you for being on today. I appreciate it as always. I will be seeing you in a little while as we hit the seminar and then tomorrow night there in Post Falls, Idaho. Fans, make sure you get out there and support your local wrestling as it's maybe stepping its way back into our lives. Do it safely. Do it smartly. We'll be back with you Sunday afternoon. It is our 6'5" and over show. All the guests at least 6'5" in height, going all the way up to 7 feet. We have 2 7-foot-tall wrestlers on the same program Sunday. Should be a fascinating one. and we will talk to you very soon.
Hey, just make sure everybody check out the social media after the show's over with for that debut of the new mask.
Looking forward to that for sure. All right, be safe, everybody. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye now.